أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. صدق الله العظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
So we've been looking at Surat al-Inshiqaq. Just a little bit of revision for a minute or so we know where we are. Inshiqaq, in essence, surah number 84? Okay, cool. Inshiqaq actually means something that is broken apart, torn apart, but irreparable. Okay, so not repairable, and that's where the first ayah comes from. We also looked at the focus of the surah. And when I'm saying this again and again, I'm hoping that you will look at all the 114 surah of the Quran and know what these surahs are about, what their focus is. And then you can visit them as you want whenever the need arises, or read them every day whenever you want. So anyway, the focus of this surah is two things. One, that the human being will meet his or her striving, which is what we're going to look at today. So whatever you and I are working towards, we're going to see it. We have no choice but to. We will see it. So whatever your concept or my concept of success was, I will be able to see it. The second thing was, every single stage of life will come to its conclusion. So your babyhood will end, your toddlerhood will end, your teenage days will end, middle age will end. You will get old and you and I will die. There is no choice. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. Okay, so these are the basic two concepts of this surah. You divide the surah into five sections. You've all done this, and I think now it's coming out of your ears, but that's okay. The first one was about the day of judgment and cosmic chaos. So basically the heavens will shatter and the earth will be stretched and it'll throw everything out. So we talked about this and we said basically it's talking about accountability, it's talking about Jannah and Jahannam, and yesterday we covered that topic. The second section now, which we're going to look at today, is looking at that results day. What did I do in my life? I don't know about you, but when I was younger, there was a program that said, this is your life. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that. You're about the same age. Okay. So this is your life. I had this particular person, and I can't remember his name, but he had this red book, and he'd give it to you, and he'd say, this is your life. And that's basically what it's trying to tell you and me. Have a look at your life, see what you've done. The third section actually says that every stage of life will come to an end. And when we close our eyes, you think, oh my goodness, I was just 20, 45 years ago. What happened? It just moved, you know? So basically, every stage will come to an end. The fourth section is a warning to those who defy divine guidance. And the fifth section is limitless. There's a limitless reward to those who follow divine guidance. And that's basically what this surah is about, okay? I say it very easily. It's a difficult surah. We're now going to look at the second section. Now, I started off with that ayah, which says, Ya ayyuhal insan, O human being. I'm going to look at the book so I don't get mixed up. Innaka kadihun ila rabbika. Kadih or kad means to strive and try really, really hard. You know when you've tried so hard and you think, ah, can't do anymore. That's it. Bas, khalas. That's kadihun. So Allah says, you are striving, but whatever you're striving at, it ends up with divinity. You're going from irtiqai to tanzili. Irtiqai in Arabic or in English means evolutionary. Tanzili means revelationary. So you are evolving towards the revelationary, whether you like it or you don't. You will meet that. It's just like, you know, if you've got an exam, if you did an exam, and if you have children, they did 7 plus and 11 plus, and you just waited for those results, didn't you? You did that exam, you're going to get the results, whether you like it or you don't. You came into the world, you will see what you did. I remember my son, when I'm sure he's going to listen to it and get angry at me, but anyway. So I remember my son when he did his medical exams. So his medical exams, say for example, the results were going to come out that day. And everybody's results came out, but his didn't. Mama, I did try my best. Mama, I'm telling you. And he curled up like a little ball, and it was a Friday. So he curled up like a little ball on his bed, and we didn't see him for the weekend. Now me and his father were like, you can imagine what we were going through, thinking, oh God, he hasn't got through. That's why he didn't get his results. So we were saying, it's okay, Baba. 1 year in your life is going to make no difference at all. You know how you behave your children, and you say, whatever. So Monday morning, the oldest daughter goes to the university because they haven't got any results. Monday, we get no email, nothing, and she runs to the university. She's waiting outside because he's too sad, inverted brackets, to even want to look. Okay. So she runs to the university, and they say, well, we've withheld his results because he didn't pay his library fine of £2.31. Yes. So this is what we're talking about, right? We're talking about that waiting for that results. And these results are going to come. Yesterday we talked about muhasaba, right? And this is what it is. So Allah is saying you will see them, whether you forgot to pay your library fine or you didn't. You will see your results. Now let's see what he says. He says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَ بِيَمِينِ. If you got your book in your right hand, if you got your book in your right hand, you're done. For so far, yuhasibu hisaba yasira. It's easy accounting. It's the bare minimum you got in your life, and it doesn't matter whether it was a B or a C or an A star. What matters is you got through. You know when your kids do 7 plus and 11 plus, you just want them to get that school. Doesn't matter what the result was. So he just got through his exams and he thought, yes, that's it. You didn't want to see what the marks were. He may analyze them, but you don't want to analyze them. You've got them there. Okay. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. And they come back to their families really happy. Masroor means that inner happiness, not fake smiles. Huh? You know that inner happiness. I'm really happy. And ahl need not be family. Ahl, many people think ahl is family. Ahl is that which you call your family. It doesn't have to be blood relations. So your non-womb people are your family. I have a non-womb daughter here, and phenomenal. You know, you cannot, there's nothing you can say about her. But the Ahlul Baytis are your non-womb family, are they not? It's like a family. So he goes back to his family, and he says, or she says, I made it, I did it, and this is how I did it, and I want you to know how I did it as well. And if you remember, I mentioned Yasin and Habib al-Najjar. Do you remember when he says, Kilat Kulil? Jannah. You enter Jannah. What did he say? Kala ya layta qawmi ya'lamu bima ghafrali. Rabbi wa ja'alani minal mukrameen. I wish my people knew how it was easy. It's the same thing with this person. He goes back to his family and he says, this is how we did it. And I remember we're talking about the Day of Judgment, right? So he's thinking, have I got any extra credits that I can give them? Because they need to come with me as well. We'll talk about family upgrades, by the way, when we get there, okay? So now he says, well, Amma, this is a sad bit. And like I said, in the Quran, when you listen to happy bits, just raise your hands and say, Ya Allah, make me amongst them. Now this bit you don't want to be amongst, okay? So he says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاهَ ذَهْرِ. The one who was given his book behind his back. Look at the imagery the Quran does. The Quran gives you a book in front of you in your right hand and you're so happy. But the person who doesn't want to look at his book is given the book behind his back or behind her back. Now what does that person do? This person, فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثَبُورًا, doesn't even want to look at his book. He knows what's in his book. She knows what's in her book. All she does is raise her hand and say, Ya Allah, just take me away. I don't even want to see it. I know what I've done. I don't want to be part of this at all. وَيَسْلَى سَعِيرًا. And although the Quran gives you an image of they'll be thrown into Sa'ir. Sa'ir is this fire. It's telling you the reason why you would be thrown into the fire and you don't want to see your book is because you caused so much injustice and you agitated people so much. You and I know when we've hurt someone. We know it from their eyes, how much they're hurt. So those people who are being unjust in the world today, do you not think they know what they're doing? Everybody knows what they're doing. So they won't even want to see their book. They'll say, please, just end this for us. We don't want to know. But Quran says, for them, there will be neither life nor death. There will be no end because that is the injustice they caused. What you do comes back at you like a boomerang. Okay. So then he says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Before that, they used to be happy because they used to think, life? Yeah, we're not accountable. We don't have to do anything. Death is the end. They did not believe in accountability. And Allah keeps this in surah quite much. He says, إِنَّهُ ذَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ يَحُورَ. They actually thought that they were free. They would be free. They wouldn't have to worry about it. The world was the end. And he says, بَلَا No. إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Your Rabb is always watching. So he's looking at you. So this is what we're going to look at today. And Quran is so beautiful, because it tells you this is what happens if this is what you do, right? So you and I know, I don't want to be part of that. And raise your hands every time you read something like that and say, Ya Allah, I never want to be part of this at all. Just don't want to be part of it. Now, so the idea is success. Same thing, I go back to my son. Success for him, or success for the family as such, was that he got his results in that he got his qualification. Agreed? Doesn't matter whether it's... So the bare minimum of success, what is it? You and I need to look at the bare minimum. Not the A star. I mean, those are way above. Suratul Waqia. Sabiqun, they're up there. Yeah. Let's not go there yet. Okay. Right now, we want bare minimum. We just want to get into Jannah. You know, like step into it. Don't even mind sweeping for the big guys. You agree? Okay. So let's see what Quran says is the bare minimum. Now, my concept of success as the worldly concept and divine concept are two different things altogether. But Quran says, look, let's look at Fir'aun. You all know Fir'aun, right? Fir'aun had the biggest, most beautiful house in the world. Have you watched this program called Cribs? Come on, some of you must have watched it. No? Oh, try and watch it. It shows you other people's houses, and you look at them and you think, really? You need all that space? You wait till you get to my age, and you'll want to downsize. Anyway, so he had the biggest crib in the world, and the best crib in the world, right? He called himself God, did he not? That was Fir'aun called himself. Yet he is the biggest loser in the world. Do you call him successful? No. Look at Ibrahim, homeless, kicked out of his house. Even the people around him wanted to burn him in the fire. So a homeless person to be put in the fire, thrown from one place to the other, yet the most successful of human beings whose religion the world follows. All the monotheistic religions are religions of Ibrahim. Look at Yazid and Hussein, right in front of us, is it not? Yazid had palaces to his name. He could do whatever he wanted. He even got monkeys to dress up as ulama and go on the minbar. That's what people allowed him to do. And look at Hussein, the most humble, the most kindest, the most awesome of human beings. Who do you remember now? So who was successful and who wasn't? I tell this story every year and I'll repeat it because I love it. So say you had your baby in a buggy, right? And you're crossing the road. And near you, on that day was the day when they collected rubbish, right? Garbage day. So near you was this suited, booted, and it's all right to be suited, booted, huh? Don't get upset. So this, you had this suited, booted, designer dressed guy near you. And then you had the garbage truck and you had the guy who was collecting all the rubbish. But as you were crossing the road, a car came really, really fast. And it was the garbage guy who ran and saved your child. Before this, if I'd asked you who was successful, you would say, obviously, the suited, booted city guy. Please let your husbands be suited, booted. You can be suited, booted as well, okay? But after the incident, if I told you who is the most successful, you would say the garbage guy, because he had humanity in him. Now keep that in mind, and we'll look at the Quran says is the bare minimum of success. And that's what you and I need to aim for. Now all of you know this surah, because this surah is probably the basis of Quran, and it talks about divine success. This surah, in essence, encompasses the whole of the Quran. There are ulama who tell you that if it is only this surah that was revealed, it would have been enough. In fact, the companions of the Prophet, when they said goodbye to each other, they recited this surah, and that's Suratul Asr. Suratul Asr is surah number 103. How do I remember that? Fajr, Zohar, Asr. Asr is which salah? The third one of the day. So you remember three, right? And just add 100 to it. So now you know Surah Al-Asr is 103. It's one sentence. Three ayat, but one sentence. But it encompasses the whole of life. It encompasses divine success. There's no choice here, by the way. It doesn't say either or. It takes you through. So let's start with the surah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What does it say? Well, Asr. You all know it, right? Well, Asr. I swear by time. But that's the general consensus. Now let's look at a little bit further into what Asr means. If you go to a Middle Eastern country, you know a little bit of Arabic, and you want juice, you will call it Asir. So if you want orange juice, you will say Burtuqal Asir, or Asir Burtuqal, whatever you want to say. So Asir, Asr means to extract oil, or to extract juice from something, to extract something, right? That's the first thing. The first thing that Asr is about. Remember, the time of Asr finishes the morning or extracts the night from the morning. Think about it that way, okay? And Asr also means drop by drop. You've tried to extract oil from an avocado, for example. Oh my goodness me, it takes hours, okay? You haven't tried, have you? Try, works really well. Okay, that's another thing altogether. Asr also means something powerful that destroys. Typhoons or cyclones are known as Asr. Whatever is in its path, it will destroy. Time destroys my time of being a baby. Time destroys teenagers, you know, makes them into adults. Time destroys adulthood and makes it into an old person. And time, when it ends, gets me to the grave. So Asr is also something that destroys, that is very powerful. So he says, I swear by that, let's change what it means, that which changes you, that which is so powerful that you cannot stop it, I swear by time management. Time, you can't stop. You can't get yesterday back again. You can cry. You can put the heavens and the earth together. Unless you're Imam Ali and then the sun comes back. It's different, okay? But you and I, time will always remain time. So he says, time is so important. Don't waste it. I'm not going to say what I want to say. So we'll ask, innal insana lafi khusr. He says, an insan is singular. Al-insan. He's talking about me on my own. He said, every human being is drowning in loss. Oh my God, I thought you were Rahman and Rahim. I thought you were the best. Why are you telling me I'm drowning in loss? You told me, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. I made the human being in the best of makes. And now you're telling me I'm at loss. What's going on? He says, no. I need you to get the bare minimum of success. Have you met your mother? Obviously. And who is the harshest of people and the kindest of people? You see, now, brush your teeth for 2 minutes. She'll buy every gadget and she'll make you brush your teeth. She is the kindest yet the harshest because she wants you to reach your full potential. Sometimes you don't realize it. Have you seen her? Oh, you haven't met her, have you? Oh my goodness. Okay, you haven't met me then. So I have 5 children. Don't ask them about me, okay? So, innal insana lafi khusr. Every human being is in loss. But he says, illa alladhina. This is one sentence. Except those who believe, wa amilus salihat, wa tawasaw bil haq, wa tawasaw bis sabr. Now it doesn't say either or, huh? Because we recite it so quickly. I remember as a child, if I wanted to finish namaz quickly, it would be Suratul Asr. But my God, this is the most difficult surah to even think about, okay? So let's start with the first one, which is إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who believe. Now, there's nobody here who will say, I don't believe. Ask anyone and they will say, I believe in God. Even the Makkans. When the Makkans were told, who created the heavens and the earth? They said, Allah. It's a no-brainer. Even atheists will tell you that nature created everything. Who's nature? Nature is God. He's the creator. He is Al-Khaliq. But there is a manifestation of belief. The manifestation of belief is, when somebody meets me, and I like to abbreviate things, do I give them the 3 S's? Oh, you're quiet now. Okay, it was like MK, you remember MK, don't you? Right. So the 3 S's, do I give them safety? Do I give them security? And do I give them salamati, which is peace? Safety, security, and peace. You can call it salamati if you want, right? Or am I judgmental? Am I belittling them? And do I resent them? Religious places, when you get together, are possibly, and I say it from my point of view, are possibly the place where you get judged the most. What you wear, how much knowledge you have, where you come from, what color you are. They look at you and they say, oh, really? Have you seen that? I mean, really? Are you serious? When he tells you, as a believer, you have to be the kindest of people. The kind, there's no judgment here. One judge, position taken, when it's empty, we'll all apply. But we're so harsh. Oh my goodness, her scarf slipped a bit. Hello, there's women here. Okay, that's okay. I get told that I don't wear socks that are all black. They've got a bit of pink in them. Are you serious? Are you serious? My daughter buys them for me and she says, Mama, you have to wear them every day. I will wear them. I'm sorry if it has a bit of pink in them. But we're so judgmental. We look up and down. Yet, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا tells me, the moment somebody sees me, they should feel security, they should feel salamati, and they should really feel in themselves safety. They can come and sit with you. Are you good with that? Okay. Now, these people not only believe, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And I hate the word good deeds. That's me. Because good in Arabic is khair, is it not? This doesn't say deeds that are khair. It says amilus salihat. Let me try and, I don't know much Arabic, but let me try and explain. So there's amal and there's fi'l in Arabic, to do something. Fi'l is done without an intention. You and I breathe without an intention. You don't say, I am breathing qurbatan ilallah. You don't say that. When you want to go from A to B, your legs walk. You don't say right first and then left first and then. You don't do that. Fi'l is something you do subconsciously. However, amal is done with intention. If I get up and I make an intention to come here, that is an amal. How I get here is fi'l. Are you good? So amal has to be done with an intention. Now, amalu salihat. Salihat is bare minimum. It comes from sule. Even in Urdu, sule means to put two things together. So sule or salihat means those deeds that when you do them, they fix you and they fix the person across. When I smile, even if it's a fake smile, it makes me happy and the person across feels acknowledged. And they smile back. Right? Thanks. So they smile back. Right? It does good to me, it does good to you. And it's really important to understand what amilu salihat is. You could give somebody everything in the world on their feet. But if you put their heart together, if you made them feel good, you've done it. You don't need to give them things. They'll tell you, I don't want anything. I just want you to behave. Have you met your children when they're teenagers? Thank God mine are over that phase, but they're still there. Even in their 30s and 40s, they're still teenagers, okay? And they come in sometimes really grouchy, don't they? Because they've had a bad day at work or whatever they've had, or their children have been a pain in the neck, right? So they come in and you say, hello, I don't want anything. I just want you to smile, come near me and give me a hug. And in exchange of that, I'll give you food. They're happy. But this is what you want. You want somebody to deal with you in the right way. That's why the Prophet said, when you do salam to someone and you hold their hand, all your past sins are forgiven. When you hug them, your troubles fall off your shoulders like leaves in autumn. When you hug somebody, please hug them after you've had a shower. Huh? I get lots of hugs. Okay, good. All right, so it's really important to maintain that cleanliness as well. Okay. So basically, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That amilu salihat is so important. That smile, I mean, it just does it. Okay. Then he says something else. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. That's two things. Now, tawasi, you've heard of the word wasiya. Wasiya means a will. Or wasiya means somebody you tell somebody when you're dying. What do you tell? Who do you tell? You say that which you hope will be useful to them, and you say it to those you love. You don't go and tell the world and their wives. You tell people whom you love. So tawasi has a few conditions. It's lovingly giving counsel to someone to do something good out of care and compassion. I repeat again. Tawasi is to do something lovingly out of care and compassion, right? Now, you know we have Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Have you seen how you get told about that? Oh my goodness. It's as though we've become suddenly God police. And we have to tell people what to do, how to do, when to do, and God forbid they don't do it, we ban them. We say, go away, don't want you here. Why? Why would you do that? I remember once at Stanmore, it was Dahul Ard. Do you know what Dahul Ard is? Dahul Ard is spreading of the earth. Yes? It's a day when you're supposed to be happy. So I remember sitting in the car park, this was many, many years ago, and as I came out of the car park, this woman was sitting in the car, and I said, why are you sitting in the car? She said, I've worn black clothes, and they're going to look at me, because you're supposed to wear non-black clothes. So I said, you know, I've been a bit lazy. I got pajamas underneath. I can give you my chadar. You take my chadar, and I'll wear your clothes. She looked at me and she thought, that's not happening, okay? It's just not happening. But this is how we judge. If somebody wore a bit of white or a bit of this or a bit of that, sorry about that, wore a bit of something else, we judge so quickly. What is wrong with us? Tawasu bil haq means you counsel somebody. Okay, if you want to say something to somebody, I pick something different. You want to say something to somebody, say it really nicely. Sit them down, talk to them, explain to them, and then, you know, Allahu ya'lam. God's given them free will. Whether they take it or not, it's up to them. My grandchildren are very young, and sometimes when they say something, the world says it's assertive. I say it's rude. So there is a difference. But you have to talk to them. You can't just say, don't say that, because they might say it somewhere else. Okay, so it's really important. What the waso bil haq means, talk to them lovingly about haq. Haq appears about 200 times in the Quran. Haq means purpose, haq means reality, haq means truth, haq means rightfulness. Again, I don't have time to go into each one of those. What the waso bis sabr? Sabr is not only patience. Sabr is persistence. To try again and again and again. You know, there's a Nigerian proverb which says, it takes a village to raise a child. That is sabr. You try to raise a child on your own. You can't do it. Even Suratul Asr started off by saying, Innal insana lafi khusr. Every human being is in loss, individual. But as soon as it came to the four bits, it said you can't do it alone. Illa ladhina. Ladhina is plural. Illa ladhi in Arabic would be individual. You cannot do things on your own. You have to do things together. You've heard the word Ubuntu. I'm going to end with this and then go to Masaib. We heard of the word Ubuntu. There was an anthropologist who took some fruit, which these particular people in this village had never seen. And he took that fruit and he put it at a tree that was really far. And he told the children, whoever gets to the tree first can eat all that fruit on their own. He saw the children gathering, all of them gathering each other, holding hands, and all of them went together to the fruit. And they were sat down eating it. And he told them, he said, but I thought I told you that the one who got there first would get it all. They said, don't you know, we are, or I am, because we are. Right? And that's Ubuntu. Can you imagine Saida coming into this hall on her own, nobody here, what's she going to do? Every single person was put here for a reason. Every single person was invited by Sayyida. Everyone is just as important as the next person. So bare minimum of success, belief. Amilus, salihat. When you tell people stuff, take them to the truth, but take them with loving counsel. And then sabr. Sabr is persistence, it's not patience. You tell somebody to hang on. It will be all right, inshallah. Palestine will be free. Inshallah. It will. Gaza will be free. Hussein will live on. Have no choice, whatever you do, he will live on. And that's what Suratul Asr talks about, and that's the bare minimum of success. But today we look at these two amazing individuals. Before I look at them, just a little bit of history. So there's Ja'far al-Tayyar. You all know Ja'far al-Tayyar. Ja'far ibn Abdul Muttalib. He marries Asma. Asma, best friend of Sayyida Fatima. You know when she dies, she calls her Asma. You know that? Okay. They move to Ethiopia. And they have three sons, Abdullah, Aun, and Muhammad. First Muslim born in Africa was Abdullah. They come back. When they come back, the Prophet says, I don't know what makes me happier. Seeing Ja'far come back, or the people who came back from the battle when they won. Okay, so anyway. You know his arms were cut in the Battle of Muta. That's why he's known as Ja'far Tayyar. Like Hazrat Abbas is known as the one whose arms have been replaced with wings of the angel, same with Ja'far. Okay, so Ja'far is killed. Asma is a widow. She marries Abu Bakr. Yes, you heard right. She marries Abu Bakr. They have a son called Muhammad. When Abu Bakr dies, she marries Imam Ali. Yes, you heard right. They weren't Khojas. They were Muslims. Okay? She marries Imam Ali, and they have two sons, Yahya and Aun. Imagine somebody doing this. We would have said, you're not coming in here. That's not you. Anyway, so now he's known as Abul Masakin, because he looks after those who don't have anything. So when they go into Karbala and say, the Zainab says, this is part of a mahar that she would go away with her brother. He says, I can't come with you. I have so many orphans to look after. And he's old and it's quite difficult for him to move around. They have six children. You can look it up. I don't have time, so I can't go into their names. On the night of Ashura, from the tents, you could hear each of the moms telling their children that when you go to the battlefield, try not to go near the water. It's very hard for a mom to say that. Try not to go near the water, because when you go to the battlefield, Abdullah, that is Ali al-Askar, and Sakina will still have no water. And Zainab was saying the same thing to her sons. In the morning, these two go to Imam Hussein, and they say, we want to go to the battlefield. They're very young, 9, 10, 11, very young. History doesn't say what ages, but they're that sort of an age. So Imam Hussein puts this armor on them, right? The armor is so heavy and so long that it drags on the floor. The Hamid ibn Muslim says, the first time I see Mola sitting on the ground and then standing up. Sitting on the ground and standing up. And he says, I tell him, Mola, why are you sitting and standing? He says, you know what, when I stand, they look so little. When I sit, at least they look a bit bigger. They're that young. So Hazrat Abbas and Imam Hussein hold their hands, take them to the battlefield, and are directing them. And Umar Sa'd said, who are these? They say, these are the sons of Zainab. And Umar Sa'd said, I know that if I hurt them, I will hurt Hussein, because his sister is so close to him. So they don't give the children a chance to fight fairly. They surround them, and they kill them. When the two bodies are brought back to the tents, they're looking for Zainab. Where's Mama? Where is their Mama? And Imam Hussein says, where is Zainab? And Fiza says, she is praying two rakats of shukr. She's raising her hands in dua and she's saying, Ya Rabbi, taqabbal minni, accept from me hadhal qurmani, this sacrifice. Even afterwards, when they were in Sham, when they were in Damascus, when people came to give condolences to them, everybody, the heads were returned. Everybody had a head in their lap. But behind the door, there were two tiny heads. And when the women of Sham came in, they said, don't these have a mama? Don't they have anyone? And they said, yes, their mama is here, but their mama has got Hussein in her lap. It was only when she reached Medina and she reached her home, she was sitting outside and Abdullah walks in and he says, oh lady, can I help you? And she says, did you not recognize me? I am your wife, I am Zainab. He opens the door to her when she goes into the bedroom of her sons. That's the first time she says, wa aun wa Muhammad, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Sayalamun alladhina dhalamu ayyamun qalibiyan qalibun. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives us the tawfiq to understand his words and to be able to do the bare minimum so we can enter Jannah. Let us pray for all those who are suffering in the world. Ya Allah, you have promised victory to those who are oppressed. We pray for their victory. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ